my goodness, it is getting to be that time of year. It is a crazy time of year. It's usually a very busy time of year for many individuals, many families, especially if you've got kids in school. This time of year just seems like it could not be any fuller. It seems like every day there's something going on that we need to be doing, something that we have to be a part of, and that's been a good thing. We've had a really good year, so blessed, so fortunate. You may notice the Christmas tags up here. If your family has not filled one of these out and just written your name on there so that if someone wants to bring Christmas cards for the whole congregation, they don't have to mail those out to everyone and they don't have to track everyone down on a Sunday morning. You'll just have your gift bag, gift card, but not gift card. If you want to give gift cards, you're certainly welcome to. Your Christmas card bag up here, that would be fantastic. I'd really appreciate that and get in on that Christmas card action. Russ mentioned the church directory. If you have become a part of Forest Mill in the last couple of years and you were not in the previous directory, and for some reason we have not gotten your name on one of those sheets back there, I want you to know first and foremost, you are a part of our congregation. In fact, you are the reason that I requested us to do a directory update. Because I was looking at the old directory, I was like, well, so-and-so's not in here, and so-and-so's not in here. I can't call and get on to them for not being one, and how am I going to do that? I'm just kidding. That wasn't the reason, but it was because you weren't there. And so if you are, if you've just come in the last few years and you weren't in the old directory, we don't have your information, but we would like to get it. And we want to make sure we include you. You are the reason for this update. We want to make sure we get you, so we're going to have some sheets available in the back. I don't think we have them this morning, but we'll try to get them next week so that we can get your information, get you added in. You are an important part of our congregation. And then finally, Russ mentioned the 28th that we're going to have just a devotional. Russ, please. This is not just a devotional. My goodness. That Wednesday night, the 28th, we're going to try to do a New Year centered devotional time. We're going to have a time of singing. We're going to have a time of reflection and thought, not only about but about the upcoming year as well. And I think that's a really important time. On that Wednesday night, the 28th, we won't have regular Bible classes. We will all meet here in the auditorium. And I think that will be a really, really good thing. I'm looking forward to that. So that's Wednesday, the 28th. Then already, it seems to me that this happens faster and faster every year, but Christmas is already upon us, right? It is such an exciting time getting and giving presents. Is anybody excited about getting presents this year? Anybody? Oh, there's the honest ones right over there. There they are in the back. All I need is a little boy about 10 and under. Just answer, yes, I'm excited about that. So I thought we might inject some of that enthusiasm into our time together this morning. I am looking for a volunteer or two to come up and share what you want for Christmas. Just any kids who want to come up here and tell me one thing that you want for Christmas. Do I have a volunteer? Oh, fan.
Got a volunteer.
First of all, could you tell us your name, sir?
Banks.
Your name is Banks. And Banks, what do you want for Christmas?
Yes.
A 3DS?
You know, the thing that you can play video games in 3D.
Wow! So 1DS isn't enough. You need three of them, right?
No, it's called a 3DS.
Oh, it's called a 3DS. Okay. So you can play video games in 3D.
Yes, plus it always gets new video games.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Good job, Banks. And what is your name? Oh, no idea what he said. All right, where you go? What's your name?
Warren.
Warren, what would you like for Christmas, sir?
Minecraft Story Mode, PlayStation 4.
Rumpelstiltskin, PlayStation 4?
No.
What?
Minecraft.
Minecraft for PlayStation 4?
And Minecraft.
And Minecraft. Oh, I did not even know such a thing existed. Oh, man, that's a serious video game. Guys, good job, Warren. Thank you, sir. And what is your name, sir?
Grayson.
Grayson. What would you like for Christmas, Grayson?
A PlayStation 4.
Maybe you and Warren just get together and y'all share one. How about that? That doesn't sound very good. Thank you, Grayson. What's your name, sir?
John.
John, what would you like for Christmas, John?
A 3DS 2.
A 3DS 2?
No, a 3DS.
Oh, a 3DS. I thought maybe it was the next 3DS. It was a 3DS 2. Good job, John. Thank you, sir. And what is your name, young lady?
Addison.
Addison, what would you like for Christmas?
A computer.
A computer. To play games?
No.
Oh, no, for work? I put you on the spot. I'm
school.
Sorry. For school. Oh, okay. Well, good job, Addison. That is admirable. What is your name, young man?
Hudson Clutter.
Hudson Clutter, what would you like for Christmas?
Crayfish.
Crayfish? As in crawdads, mud bugs, like live living crawdads. Buddy, I bet you are in luck. Thank you very much, Hudson. All right, who's next? Her. All right, come here. I can't go any further. I can't stretch. Come here. All right, what is your name? What is your name?
Caroline.
Oh, I know that, Caroline. What do you want for Christmas? Let me guess. Crawdads. No, not crawdads. What do you want? Do you know? You probably don't want anything for Christmas, do you? No? You want a bow for your hair? Yeah, that would be a good one. That would be good. That all you want? Good job, Caroline. And what? Oh, thank you. I'm swapping out here. It's on. Okay. And what is your name?
Jenna,
what do you want for Christmas?
American Girl doll.
American Girl doll? Oh, man. Do you want the North American Girl doll or the South American Girl doll? You don't. Either one of them's fine. They're both good. Good job. Thank you very much, ladies. Oh, and what is your name, kind sir?
Slade.
Oh, thank you, Slade. I bet I know what you want for Christmas. Shoes.
No.
No, not shoes.
PS4 and a fishing rod.
PS4 and a fishing rod? Do you fish on the PS4?
No.
Oh, no, you don't fish. I bet you can. No. Tell your parents that's what you want. You want a PS4 fishing rod. Just fish right there on the TV screen. No, all right. Good job, Slade. What's your name, sir?
Miles.
Miles, what do you want for Christmas?
Mario set.
What?
Mario.
Mario? Like the man Mario? Or the video game Mario? Or a doll Mario?
No.
No, not a doll Mario. Oh. The video game Mario?
No.
No?
Playset.
Oh, the playset. With the doll? Oh, no, not the doll. Okay. Not the doll. All right, very good. And what is your name, sir?
Wade.
I know, Wade. What do you want for Christmas? What was I supposed for?
Yes.
I thought, yeah. Warren, did you have anything to do with that? I mean, he needs to get one of his own, doesn't he? Yes, he does. He's not paying yours anymore. No, sir, you get your own.
He has Mario.
I know. It's so exciting. All right, good job, Wade. What is your name? Wait. Let me guess what your name is. Are you Mario?
No.
No. What is your name?
Keely.
What do you want for Christmas?
What do you want for Christmas?
What do you want?
What do you want? Tell them.
A pony?
No. I just really got that for Christmas.
Oh, well, there you go. A puppy? No. I bet you want a baby brother. No. Dad does.
What do you want, Keely? Hurry.
A babysitter for Christmas.
A baby what?
A baby with a girl baby.
A baby what? A baby. You just want a baby?
Yeah, not a real baby, but a play baby. Yeah, a play baby doll. Oh, that is so good, Keely. Thank you so much. Y'all give those kids a big round of applause. That got way more exciting than I thought it would. That was just like the line for Santa at the mall. I mean, it just kind of keeps growing. It was never ending. Anyway, all right. So for adults, you see the excitement of these kids. For adults, we're looking at that and we're like, oh, that's, you know, I remember that, but that's not necessarily how I feel now. Like, I'm not that excited about it now. But for adults, we tend to look back about this time of year. We look back to our childhoods, to our Christmases, and we remember maybe how we felt at that time. We remember the excitement of waking up on Christmas morning. Oh, that was such a big deal. I would wake up like 4:30. I mean, my parents loved me. I'd wake up super, I mean, just could not wait. My parents would put like an alarm clock in my room on Christmas Eve because I knew I could not come out of that door until 6. And so I would wake up early and I would wait until the moment that clock 6, and then I was out the door. It was such excitement to wake up on that morning, better than any other morning throughout the year. The thrill of tearing off wrapping paper, not knowing what's underneath, but knowing that it was for you, just rip into it and find out the mystery, the discovery. It was so exciting. Do you remember your best gift ever? Like the moment when you got it and you were like, yes, this is it. This is jam. This is my stuff. I am going to love this forever and I'm never going to get rid of it. This is the best thing. Do you remember that feeling? For me, I mean, I had a couple of these that I just loved, but my favorite one for a long time was this. I forgot to put that up there. There you go. This was it. Anybody remember these? Yes. These were the latest in entertainment technology, the Atari 2600. 2600. That's like way up there. So anyway, this Atari 2600, when I opened it up on Christmas morning, came with Combat, really big. It came with Pac-Man, and under another present I had Pitfall, which were all fantastic video games that you could play forever, and there were endless things that you could do, like move around with the joystick and press the button. I mean, you could just do that all the time. So I remember the Christmas unwrapped this, that I unwrapped this. It was technically for my brother and I, but I was older and bigger. So I played with it even more. My brother didn't enjoy the fruits of it as much as I did. But I remember that day. I remember that day we had extra controllers, and that my brother and my dad and I hooked up 4 controllers, and we played Combat, and it was the best thing ever. Just the thrill of being able to see that you are moving something on the TV screen. That was a new thing. I mean, I had never been able to control the TV, something on the TV. It was almost like I was a little bit famous because I was on TV. I was doing something on the screen. Now, these days, I don't get quite as excited about Christmas gifts or about getting presents as when I was younger. The excitement for me now comes in watching my kids or my wife or one of my loved ones open up one of the gifts that I gave them. I mean, that's the real excitement for me now. I enjoy getting gifts, and I appreciate the thoughts and the kindness that are shown in that. I really do. But I enjoy giving gifts even more. But I have to make a little bit of a confession here. I always do it with a little bit of anxiety. Anyone else? When they're opening up the gift that you got for them, the gift that you thought, this is what they'll want, this is what they need, they're going to love this. And so as they're unwrapping it, as they're opening it, for me, as they're pulling apart the bag, as they're doing that, always my heart is a little bit in my throat because I think in the back of my mind, what if they don't love it? What if they don't like it? What if I have wasted this money on something they'll never use? You know, what if they feel like I don't really even know them? You know, what if I have failed in this gift giving? So let me ask you this.
Don't you wish that you could read people's minds? When you're deciding what to buy them or when you're deciding what to give them, don't you wish that you could get an insight into the way that they think before you get them a gift to know for certain exactly what they need? Or maybe you wish that you had unlimited money or power to get them exactly what you know they want. Boy, that would be nice. A lot of things that my loved ones want, or even my loved ones may say, you know, maybe a need, but I can't give them. I don't have that kind of money, or I don't have that kind of power or influence. So I want you to use your imagination for just one moment here. I want you to imagine for a moment that I have at my disposal unlimited wealth and unlimited power, and that I have the ability to get you literally anything you want. Anything. There is nothing beyond the scope. What would you ask for? What gift would you say, this is it? I mean, would it be enough money to change your lives and your kids' lives and your grandkids' lives forever? Would it be like that kind of generational money to where you'll have that financial security? Would that be what you'd ask for? How about health? To know that your loved ones or yourself or maybe all of you are completely healthy and everyone could stay healthy. No more doctor's visits, no more prescriptions, no more medical bills. No more worries and taking blood pressure and all that. All of that's gone. How about security? In today's increasingly unstable world, where terrorism and child abduction and all of these threats are out there, to know for certain that you and your loved ones are safe from all harm. No accidental shootings, no car accidents, no threats from anyone or any other power or entity. How would you like that? Well, as we draw near to the end of Jesus' life on earth, we are given in John's gospel this rare insight into his relationship with his Father. Now, John 17 is often referred to as Jesus' high priestly prayer. And that's true. It is a high priestly prayer. We could go into that, but we're not going to do that this morning because I believe there's another aspect of it to it, another insight into it. I believe that it's a window into the relationship he and the Father that is we don't get anywhere else. We see Jesus praying in other places, but nothing like this. The entire chapter 17 is one long prayer. It's like listening in on a private conversation. We get this insight into a relationship that is marked by love, by sharing, by giving. We get to see what it's like to be in a relationship with that. And what's more, you and I, even though we weren't there, even though we weren't a part of the conversation, because see, Jesus brings you and me up in this conversation, and he taught us. So I'm interested in the context of this private conversation between Jesus and his Father. What role do you and I have? And you have to know that as God, Jesus and his Father could give one another exactly what they wanted. They knew exactly what one another wanted. They had the power and the ability and the wealth and the resources. They could give whatever they wanted. And in this relationship marked by giving, it's really insightful to see exactly what they do give. So beginning in John chapter 17, verse 1, we read, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you have given..." Here's a gift between the Father and the Son right here. "You have given him authority over all the people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. It's a lot of giving, isn't it? Did you notice that I tried to highlight some of those words? In fact, some translations will change some of those words just so you don't have the word giving, gave, given, repeated over, because it gets a little repetitious. But I intentionally changed it back. It's the same Greek word throughout. It's giving, gave, given over and over and over again. One thing we can quickly see about this relationship between Jesus and his Father is that it's a reciprocal relationship. It is back and forth. It is giving and receiving. And they are all about giving to one another, about glorifying one another. Glorify me so that I can glorify you, Jesus said. I don't want to be glorified for myself. I want to be glorified so that I can glorify you. It is all about the other. But in the midst of this father-son conversation, you and I get brought up. And it's in this process that Jesus reveals one of the good gifts that he gives to us. And Jesus is a good giver. This is one of the good gifts he gives to us. And namely, that is eternal life. Now, you and I hear that phrase. It's a magical phrase in Christianity. Immediately, our minds jump ahead, and we are thinking about life after death, streets of gold, sea, mansion for you, mansion for me, right? That's where we go with eternal life. Immediately, we're thinking no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death. And that's what eternal life means, right? No more death. So, eternal life. And while I wholeheartedly endorse and affirm the reality of life beyond death, I affirm the streets of gold and the crystal sea, I affirm no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, I don't think that's what he's talking about here. In the context of the Gospel of John, and especially here, eternal life has a bigger meaning than that. Bigger than that. And we can know that because he says exactly what eternal life in the very next sentence. He explains exactly what it is. This is eternal life, he says, that they may know you, the Father, and know me, the Son, whom you sent. That's eternal life. That they may know you, the Father, and know me, the Son, whom you sent. What? No mansions? No robes? No crowns? No streets of gold, no pearly gates. You know, what kind of eternal life is this? From our perspective, that sounds a little bit underwhelming. It's like opening up the big box underneath the Christmas tree and discovering it is a Sam's Club supply of socks. Oh, wow, the big present. Thanks. Well, I'll tell you. What kind of eternal life is this? This is the kind of eternal life that you don't have to wait for. That's the kind of eternal life he's talking about in John. It's the eternal life that it's available here and it's available right now, and it's all about knowing God. That's what eternal life is. But you have to know what that means in John's gospel to say knowing God. When he talks about knowing God or knowing Jesus, it has very little to do with intellectual understanding. Like, do you know who Jesus is? Yes. He was a man who was born to Mary and Joseph in the town of Bethlehem. He had to flee down to Egypt. He grew up in Nazareth. You know, he performed these miracles. He spoke these parables. He was crucified. He was buried. He was resurrected. He rose to heaven. I know Jesus. No. In John's gospel, knowing God, knowing Jesus, has very little to do with getting the information about God, with knowing the facts about Jesus. That's not what knowing God is or knowing Jesus is. No, to know God in John's gospel is to live in fellowship with God. So it's less like you knowing Beyonce or knowing Donald Trump, and more like you know your parents or your children or your spouse. Like you know them because you live with them. It's a knowing that comes from living with someone and working with someone and sitting down to evening meals with someone. It's a knowing that comes from having a disagreement and working through it with that someone. The knowing that you have with someone who shares with you their heartaches and shares with you their fears, and they share with you their hopes and their dreams. And this knowing God, this eternal life, doesn't begin when you die. It doesn't begin when this life is over and then you start eternal life. This life begins today, here, now. It is available for you. That kind of fellowship with God, previously unheard of, is now available for the likes of me and you. That's what eternal life is. It is that you don't ever go through any situation, no matter how bad, no matter how dark, no matter how difficult, no matter how great, no matter how terrible, don't go through any situation alone. That God is available for that immediate fellowship. So if you believe that God is still far off and a distant kind of God and a yet to be experienced at a later date kind of God, then the truth is that you haven't opened your present yet. You've got the present, it's been given to you, but you haven't taken the bow off, you haven't ripped into the wrapping paper, you haven't unboxed the gift. It is available here and now. So if your God is way off and you feel like you're all alone, it's because you haven't unwrapped your gift. It is a special gift. It was selected just for you. It was made just for you. It was bought for just for you at a very great price. Unbox it. But that's not the only gift. The other gift that Jesus talks about here, one of the other gifts, Jesus began praying about his disciples here in the next few verses. Beginning at verse 7, he says, "Now they," talking about the disciples, "know that everything you have given me comes from you. I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. And they knew with certainty that I came to you, and they believed that you sent me." So Jesus says that in addition to giving us eternal life, he has also given his followers words straight from the Father. And that, again, that sounds a little underwhelming, because this knowledge that's imparted by these words, it's something rare, it's something valuable, and it is a very scarce commodity indeed in our world. The words that Jesus offers are nothing less than the truth. More than riches or health or safety or security, the one thing that you and I need to have is an insight into the truth of our world. We need to know the truth about our world, about ourselves, about God. Because until we hear the truth that Jesus is Lord, until we believe that truth, that He's the Son of God sent from the Father, until we literally live by the words of Jesus' teaching, we are going to continue to live lives of disappointment. And you may not think, well, my life's not that disappointing, but we're going to be disappointed when we don't live by the words of Jesus, because we're going to be disappointed our money doesn't actually buy us happiness. We're going to be disappointed that the leaders we've elected don't really give a flip about us. They just used us. We're going to be disappointed that things aren't working out the way everyone said they would. We're going to be disappointed that our kids don't turn out like everyone else's kids seem to have turned out. We're going to be disappointed that my job isn't fulfilling as everybody else's job seems to be fulfilling. We're disappointed that I don't have as nice a car as everyone else seems to have, as nice a house as everyone else seems to have. My marriage is not as strong as everyone else's marriage. We're going to be disappointed that things aren't the way they're supposed to be, because we don't have the truth. We're buying into lie after lie after lie after lie that the world is selling us, and they will just keep on peddling that stuff as fast as they can dish it out. So the second good gift that Jesus has given us is better than anything we could have possibly chosen for ourselves. It's the truth. It's the truth about His identity. It's the truth about your identity. And it's the truth about our world. Last Christmas, it's one grandfather, he was feeling his age. So he found that going Christmas shopping was just too much for him. It was just too much of a hassle. People pushing him around and all that. And so he decided instead he was just going to send everyone checks this year. And so he went to his study, he sat down, and he wrote a card for everyone. And he jokingly wrote, "Buy your own present." He wrote a check for him. And he enjoyed, as the holiday season went on, he enjoyed the usual flurry of family activities. And it was only after the holidays that he noticed relatively few cards in return. So he goes back to his study and he's planning on writing to his relatives, kind of see what's the problem. Maybe they didn't get it or something. And so as he's cleaning off his cluttered desk, he finds the checks that he forgot to stick in the cards. The good gifts that Jesus gives us are gifts that we could never buy for ourselves, even if he'd included the check. The good gifts that Jesus gives us are beyond our reach. I can't go find the truth. It must be revealed to me. I can't live in such a way as to have eternal life. It must be given to me. But there's one left under the tree, and it's a big one. But here's the catch. It doesn't have your and my name tag on it. This one's not for us. This one's left for the Son, and it's from the Father. Look at verse 6. Jesus says, I have revealed to you, to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. The final good gift, the one we're going to talk about this morning at least, is one that we should especially take note of. Because it's not us, it is us. We are the final good gift. Here's the Father. Now again, think back to our scenario at the beginning. Here's the Father, literally capable of giving any gift He chooses. Here is the Son, Jesus Christ. He can ask the Father for any good gift in the universe, in the world beyond. He can ask for anything. The Father can give anything. And the gift that they exchange is you and me. Isn't that something? I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at myself and I think I'm no prize. I think I would be a disappointing gift. I can't imagine being Jesus and unwrapping me. And maybe that's what Jesus thinks about this gift, right? Maybe he is disappointed, or maybe he's just putting on gift face. You know what gift face is? You know that face you make when someone gives you a perfectly terrible gift, but you're trying to be polite anyway? Maybe Jesus looks at us and puts on his gift face. Oh, you got me. Sinners, I love them. Except that he doesn't. Do you remember what it was like when you got that really great gift, that gift you treasured more than anything, and then wherever you went, whatever you did, you wanted to have it with you? It's the gift that made everything else pale by comparison. So when you went to a friend's house, you went to grandma's house, or when you went to school, you were trying to still, you know, take that gift with you. Do you remember how you loved it and you wanted to be with it all the time? Well, later in this chapter, this very same chapter, Jesus says about us, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. This is the sobering news about good gifts. This is the shocking truth about this good gift, is that you were so loved with Christ, not only did he die for you, which I can sometimes manage to wrap my brain around that someone loved me enough to die for me. What I have a hard time fathoming is that someone loves me enough to want to be with me all the time. Like someone who knows me inside and out and knows the way I think because they know the way I speak and they see the way that I act. And they still want to be with me. You are that treasured a gift to Jesus. He didn't love you just to die for you. He loves you enough to live with you forever. Praise God and the message of His Word, that you and I are in fact good gifts. I can help you this morning and pray for you, lift you up if you're ready to become a child of this God, to receive these good gifts and to become the good gift to Jesus yourself. You in any way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Thee calling thee home,
calling today,
calling today? Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today. Calling his tent, calling to